Is everyone sitting comfortably?
Yeah.
Then I'll be good.
The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome, everyone, to September's edition of the EvoStick NPL Show. Yes, welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester. Later on in the show, we're going to be discussing the FA Cup this weekend. But before that, we're going to be discussing the month that has been, September 2017. Around the table, we've got the great good of the non-league community.
And me.
And Burke. We've got Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Good evening.
We've got Berkey here from Radio Manchester.
Hiya, Ben.
We've got Swamp here from the non-league show.
Good evening, Ben.
Damien's here, landlord at the Heat and Hops.
Good evening.
Bracken Park. Bracken Park Avenue fan as well.
James Hayes is here, social media man for the league itself. And making his debut for the season, welcome back, Mr. Non-League himself, Roy Sewell. Hello, Roy.
Good evening, folks, and good evening, Ben. And colleagues.
Oh,
it's good to have him back.
It is good to have him. So let's
say the end of the show.
Well, we have got some matters arising. I've been interviewing a lot of managers of late, and they've left messages, some of them, and I've got to pass on those messages
as the show goes on.
Here we go. At this stage, just apologise to pretty much everybody.
Tommy Brookbanks at Colville says hello, Berke.
Third from top Colville Town.
Yeah, well,
third from top,
Let's dip in then. Let's talk about Colville Town, because I think a lot of people would say Colville being third is a superb start to the season. It's now, last month, Berkey, you said, in fact, that was the previous show, to be fair
it
to you.
It was, yeah.
You said Colville would be in the bottom three.
I did.
Did you mean the top three?
No, I meant the bottom three, because I was put on the spot by Mr. Ben Hughes over there, and I didn't have a clue who finished in the bottom three, did I? I thought Aylesowen maybe might, and who else? Did I say Sutton? I can't remember.
Mickleover.
Mickleover, that's right, yeah.
I
just plucked a name out of thin air, I really did, but I'd tell you what, Colville Town, this season's Whitby, aren't they? They've won 7 games on the spin. They've been absolutely incredible. And I tell you what, I've not brought me back down, but upstairs there's a massive humble pie that I baked this afternoon, and I was going to dish it up, but it was only going to be me that was going to eat it, and it would have tasted absolutely lovely. And there you are. I was completely and utterly wrong.
Where's a few more, I think. Burger.
Well, there we go. But they've just had a great start to the season. The only games they've lost at home, I mean, they've been on fire at home. The only games they've lost are against Stourbridge and Waddington. That was right at the start of the season. The banging goals in left, right and centre. On the travels, they're a lot tighter. I've not seen them yet, but I'm just going off the scorelines. I'm assuming what's going on here. They're playing, I assume, on the counter-attack. They're keeping it tight. No one's going to have any easy wins against them whatsoever. The only problem is they've got a ton of away games this month. Off the top of my head, I think it's 6 out of 8 that they're on the travels, if you include the cups.
You know, someone might say, Berkey, you've actually done some research.
Yeah, but not
regardless of this team.
If any of this is inaccurate, I've not brought me notes. I'll all from memory.
The one thing to bear in mind about Colville is over the last 3 or 4 seasons, they've done very well, but they've become cemented within this division, and they're a team that, you know, if you go down there, you're in for a big game.
I have seen Colville this season. They beat Witten 2-1 earlier this month, and it is no fluke that they are third in the league. They beat a very informed Witten that day as well, by the way, and deservedly. They're just a side that is just riding a crest of a wave at the moment. They're playing with loads of confidence, loads of freedom, loving the fact that no one expects them to be there, so they're going out into games under absolutely no pressure. It'd be interesting if the longer they stay there, whether that changes. But I was just really impressed with them going forward. They create loads of chances. They signed Dan Creaney, who's playing up front, who was at Bedeth last season. He's settled in really nicely. And I have to give a shout out to Nathan Watson, who is the best individual player I've seen this season. Outstanding performance against Witten. You can see why they are where they are. They do give up chances. They are going to concede goals, but it just makes them loads of fun to watch. And I think they'll carry this one on a little bit longer yet.
Right, there you go. And Tommy Brookbanks did say, look at his managerial record. He's done
it
times.
He did.
Anyway,
that says a lot when they've not lost in 7 now. They've not lost since knocked out the FA Cup. Again, says a lot.
It's actually, they've not lost in 8.
Not lost in 8.
And that's just league matches. But anyway, up at the top at the moment is Shaw Lane, and Shaw Lane have opened up a bit of a lead. They've got a 3-point lead over Stourbridge, and Swampy's been saying this now off air for ages about Shaw Lane, about the fact, you know, they didn't have a pre-season, and you know, they've hit the ground running. We're going to be discussing the FA Cup later as well, and you know, they beat Blyth, which, as you and I know as FC United fans,
yeah, of course,
it's
yeah.
easier said than done. And
listen, Shaw Lane have been tremendous this season. I think from as we say, we know the whole club was in turmoil, but no one knew what was happening, ground fixtures and so on and so forth. Now we do know, everyone knows, there's a bit of money hanging around Shaw Lane, which is fine. But what they're doing is they're actually utilising that money, and they're getting best value for it because they're top of the division. They started off very early in the division. Everyone's thinking where they're going to be.
They lost the first two games.
Lost the first two games, and it was like, wow. And we put that down to having no pre-season. But by goodness me, they scored 23 goals. They've got 12 against. They've only lost one game at home. They've won five of those. You know, away from home, they've won four games. They've lost. They've not drawn a game yet. I don't know the stats here, but and Simo might know them. I'm not quite sure. But how many teams have come up from the south and been so successful?
I'll tell you what.
There's not that many.
I'll tell you what. Before the weekend, the top three were all Division One South sides.
And that's what happened. I don't think that's probably happened for quite some time.
The only game they lost was against Lancaster in the league.
Yeah.
They've got them in the cup on Saturday. That's going to be some game, isn't it? That's going to be belter.
Okay, Def.
I'd say is you have got the three Southern teams up there, or Southern League teams up there. I look at Shaw Lane over the last 3 to 4 years. They've built themselves on really good foundations, and it doesn't surprise me that they are up there. And coupled with a little bit of finance, you know, that you can bang into the team and strengthen it wherever, that's an added bonus. But I'd say on Stourbridge, my feelings are, again, over the last 2 or 3 years with the cup runs and things, they've amassed a little bit of money, you know, with the cup runs and things like that.
See, I was hearing, and you might know this, cup runs, the money doesn't actually come in for a while.
Because it doesn't come in until the end of the season.
So, therefore, if
so
you're
ready for this season.
If you have a few of them, then it works out quite well.
It follows on, yeah, like a domino effect. But what I would say is they've also had a couple of changes, you know, where you thought they might have struggled, like the two forwards. And they haven't done. They've brought in, you know, quality replacements that have done the business. So I look at Colville, who haven't sort of busted any banks or anything. But what they have done is they've shown a little bit of resilience, where they've got used to maybe finding their feet in a hard way. So that's going to hold them in good stead. But if I'm looking at these, you know, these teams, the three Southern teams, I just feel that Stourbridge are the team, you know, for me, because of the consistency and the level of performances that they put in as well. You know, they are a decent outfit. That's no disrespect to the others.
No, let's talk about this, though. Warrington Town 1, Stourbridge 5. Anyone saw that?
Result of the season.
Well, we would have seen it then, wouldn't we, if we actually gone there last night.
Well, yeah, that was the... And annoyingly, that was the plan.
It was the plan to go last night to that game. It was, yeah.
The weather was lovely.
Denied.
And the weather was too...
And the beer was bang on, so leave it alone.
Yeah, that's how it went, to be honest. Yeah, we were going, but...
Back to this, we will visit Cantilever Park at some point.
They've had a funny month, though, haven't they?
They have had a funny month, but Stourbridge, they've not been... what's the word I'm looking for? They've been quietly getting on with things, but that's the first time they've roared this season, isn't it?
Yeah, they've just kind of picked up in the past couple of weeks, though, haven't they? And to be fair, the last interview you did with Gary Hackett, he did say it was going to take a little bit of time because of what Roy said, that he's had to make changes, he's had to bring new people in. But the new players are starting now to show, not just Jordan Archer, who's among the goals, a couple of the other guys that he's brought in as well who are doing the business. And Gary Hackett does it again, outstanding manager, doesn't panic when he loses these players, just goes out and finds replacements for them. I tip them to win it, and I think that's looking a pretty good bet.
To be honest, they are becoming, although Blyth did it for a lot of seasons, the nearly men.
Yeah.
Stourbridge, with their great FA Cup exploits, as Blyth did as well, and Blyth eventually got promoted in a superb season last year.
Yeah.
And they were the team to watch, and they deservedly won that division. Stourbridge this season will be looking around them, saying, well, obviously the likes of Altrincham have been popped into this division. Can we keep it going? Can we make sure that as a team we get better and better. And this season for them, I think, is their penultimate season. Am I right in saying
this is their farewell season?
Their farewell season as well, because everything changes for them, doesn't it? Which is, in a way, is unfortunate. But if they can do it and go up and go into another division, fantastic. They're a good team to watch. They're a great football club, you know. And it's no surprise they are where they are. Say, as you rightly say, Gary Hackett. He knows what to do, when to do it the right way, and it's all about, as you might say, not panicking.
Think about Stourbridge's. They've got a very interesting month coming up fixtures-wise. They're playing the teams at the top, they're playing the teams at the bottom.
Yeah, and run.
No matter what, the cup run, Alfreton in the cup on Saturday, I don't think it really matters what happens this month. They're going to be riled. And with Simo, I always agree with Simo, anyway, but I particularly agree with him now.
Right, let's talk about Fazer Celtic.
Yeah.
Now, Fazer Celtic haven't got Nathan Cartman anymore. We saw him at Darlington. He's back
but
there.
But it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter because they're still going.
And they played Coville this weekend now.
Oh, yes.
What a game that's going to be.
And who would have thought we'd have been saying that?
I know. It's
going to be a corker of a game.
To say that all the promotees are in the top eight.
The promotees?
Yeah, the ones who've come up from this season is quite remarkable, I think. Fans of Celtic are the top dogs at the moment when it comes to promotees from Division 1 North. they're doing all right, aren't they?
They're doing great.
Some of the results they've had recently. I mean, again, who saw that, the 6-0 defeat 2 weeks ago?
About 900 people, I think.
I say, the form that they're on at the moment, it's not been the best, but they're still finding themselves up there.
They beat Marine.
Yeah, they had a little wobble back to back defeats, but they come back.
That's
on
what I mean. Looking at the form, how they've been playing form wise at the moment, you wouldn't expect them to be up there.
But one thing you keep hearing from all the managers, and I know this is cliche territory, but it's true. Nobody can really put that stronger run together at the moment.
Only Shorelane really have done it over six or seven games, which is not that long. They're the only team that's really strung a proper run together.
I've got Tommy Brockbanks in the ear again.
If you can be fourth in this division and concede 22 goals already this season, you know what, you're doing well. That 22 goals is that's relegation.
Or you concede 14 of them in the last few weeks.
Exactly. But they've scored 23.
Hales Owen, who are currently bottom, have only conceded 21.
Exactly. Really? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, but they've scored 23 goals and they're winning games and they've got 23 points and they're doing tremendously well. It's a hard place to go to. They're a tough outfit to play against. And as I say, we know things are going to chop and change all through the season. But these teams at the moment, all you can ever say is that they're through merit, through work rate, through the dedication of the players and the management teams, and they deserve to be where they are at this moment in time. It will change. We know that it'll change around this season, but who's to say who's going to be above them and who's going to be below them? We're not quite sure yet, because this season, as we know, we've all said already, this is the most open with only one going down this season, only one going down. Everyone, as you said at the very beginning, James, earlier when we first showed, everyone can beat anyone, and that is the beauty of this system this season. For whatever reason, everyone's beaten everyone. I mean, Stourbridge last night, you know, go away, beat Warrington 5-1. Warrington with the form team. They've dropped away a little bit, but they're still in sixth spot. And it's like, what's going on?
Let's segue then. Fires the Celtic getting beat by Ulster 6-0.
Bonkers result. Yeah. But the thing is, you can sort of sum up Fires the season in one game. That's the 5-4 against Stalybridge. They were 3-0 down after 20 minutes. They were 4-2 down after 52 minutes. They still came back and somehow won it. They've got that battling spirit. They're an exciting team to watch.
If you had a look at Altrincham signings prior to the season kicking off, you'd have said they were going to be bang up there.
What I would say
is that, you know, when you get a collection of players all coming together early doors, it does take a little bit of a settling in period. It seems that they've settled in and they're starting to hit a little bit of a vein. What I would also say is that I look at the likes of, say, Nantwich, that are fairly well down there. You know, I just feel that they've got a little bit more to offer as well to come into the fray. And, and the likes of Witten, who have fallen off a little bit, they'll come again. So it'll come in waves. I think the top teams, not only the top team, but the playoff teams will change throughout the season, right the way through, and they'll just come in waves. The one that hits the form, will be the one that makes the ground, and then they'll drop away and then they'll come again.
So it's so difficult to call, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I don't even know why we bother doing this show, to be honest.
No, so the people can laugh at our
predictions. Yeah, yeah. And then insult us by not mentioning a certain team at a certain stage by mistake. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, the whole division this season is all over the place. And, you know, we've got to make head and tail of it, which is very, very interesting. I mean, but what is interesting, when your team who's had, I mean, Altrincham had an absolutely horrific start.
Massive
pressure. But what actually is the difference between a team that have got great potential, have come down from a division, and actually then can get themselves out of it, is a good top quality manager.
Yeah.
And what you've seen is there. Because we've been to see them this season already, Ben, and we can see they just needed to win that game.
I think we were there when it clicked.
And since then, they've just gone on a crest of a wave, and they've worked and worked and worked. They've had hard games and hard encounters, but what you've got is a manager and a structure there that basically want to play in a certain way and keep working and working, and they are there out of merit now. We know we all said they should be the team that win the division. We all thought that at the very beginning of the season, or most of us did.
Yeah, no, I think we all did, didn't we? Stourbridge,
I said. No. Yeah. Johnny said Warrington as well.
Yes, he did.
And I think it's really difficult to pick a winner at this moment in time to actually take the top spot.
I did
say Stourbridge, but Stourbridge, I'm not just saying that on this season, I'm saying it on previous seasons and the qualities that they've shown. And like I said, that's no disrespect to others, because the likes of Shoreline, I've seen them over the last couple of years, you know, on the ground. I always felt that the ground didn't really help them as regards an atmosphere. You know, if they could get that sorted out, then, you know, no problems at all.
Warrington Town are currently in sixth position, but that shouldn't detract from the fact they have, I think they were third, weren't they? Until last week.
Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Don't be slagging off Warrington.
I'm not.
Remember the show last month, we all agreed on this. Warrington had the hardest run of fixtures out of anybody in the division. And I said, if they're still in contention, they're going to be right up there at the end of the season. And it's going to be the same again in October. They've got a really, really, really tough run of fixtures. But after that, it's kind of pretty much a clear run.
I mean,
so if they're still, you know, top eight, top one, seriously, they're playing everybody at the start of the season. Everyone who's up there, they're playing them at the start.
Well, they have to play them again, though, don't they?
They will be up there.
Well,
and Berkey, before all these results came out, everyone was in contention.
They've
so
got
how are these teams that they were playing.
In fact, it's been harder for Warrington because their name begins with W.
Exactly.
They've had to start really low.
Exactly. They've actually had a pretty decent month, all things considered. They've got five or six first choice players missing through injury and whatnot. I mean, they lost against Hyde in the FA Cup, but that's to be expected, isn't it?
I lost my bet of myself there. It took you far longer than I thought it was going to mention that.
that result the other night against Stourbridge, it was an absolute aberration. You're allowed one or two of them a season. Don't worry about it. Ultimately,
and the Hyde result as well.
That weren't an aberration. They were a little bit unlucky not to go through on Saturday. Hyde equalised in extra time, last kick of the game, pretty much.
But then they drew Hales Owen at the weekend as well. This is kind of the first bump in the road, really. It is only a small bump in the road, and we'll see how they respond to it.
They are going to be a force still. The rest of the season. Yeah, as you right say, they could have one bad game, but you know, for me, Warrington Town, they're in a season where they can consolidate, maybe finish in the top seven, and
we'll
totally really, 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 really. Well, I don't think they will. I think they want to go up and win it.
I think they'll finish above Colville.
Now this is a
I did say that I felt Warrington.
This is your first show of the season. You know that, don't you?
I did say that Warrington last year would run out of games. What I will say is,
yes, he did.
That isn't their excuse this season.
Right.
They've got plenty to go at and get up there and do whatever they've got to do.
Now, speaking of plenty to go at, this is a very strange recording for me, dear listener, because everyone around the table is relatively sober and we've recorded 34 minutes and most of it is actually quite sensible stuff. So I'm like going, how am I going to edit all this together? So it's probably a good time to draw a line under part one and then talk about the next set of teams. So this is the end of part one.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick. the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show for the month of September. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be previewing those third qualifying round ties in the FA Cup. But before that, we need to mention a lot of teams we've not mentioned from part one. Starting off with Witton Albion. Simo, yeah. This is your customer Cheshire Corner.
Welcome to Cheshire Corner. I feel like it needs some background music.
Best Partridge ever. Go on.
You start it.
You've got a green sleeves bed that you can use, I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. Great cheese. Great cheese.
Go on.
Just quickly on Witton, they've lost three in the past four. First little test for them, and they got an almighty hiding at Lancaster on Tuesday. Losing to Lancaster is no disgrace at all, as lots of teams have done that this season, but it's very un-Witton-like to concede four goals in a game. They won't panic. I don't think they're necessarily worried. I think it's a little bit of a reality check, because obviously in the previous show last week we were talking about them, can they stay top of the table when they went into the game against Rushall, and they lost that one. I think it's just a little reminder to reinforce lots of what we've already said tonight. You can't have a night off. You just cannot have a night off in this league, because you will get beat. But just a sign though of how far they've travelled. This is the first time they've lost back-to-back league games since March 2016. So that's why they won't panic. They do need to get back on track against Micklover on Saturday, and it doesn't become 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6 defeats. Just need to be a little bit careful with that. But other than that, they're fine.
You are right when you say, actually, though. They have had a great start to the season.
That's part of the problem.
I think...
That's the thing, though. I mean, they're seventh. I mean, when you look at it, if you said to Cal McCall at the start of the season, after 13 games, you're going to be seventh in the league table.
Well, what did he say to you? He said top eight. It's great.
Now, let's talk about Lancaster, because you mentioned that result against Lancaster. 4-0. That's the third 4-0 in four matches. Because there's 0-0 against Stourbridge at the weekend. Lancaster
the contenders, you know.
Right, Berkey, can you just say that again without me interrupting? Because we do have one listener in particular who thinks we're anti-Lancaster. Say that again one more time.
Lancaster City are contenders. They've scored 12 goals in the last three home games. I mean, draws, all right, the division below, but draws them were flying.
Great win.
Beating them 4-0, 4-1, whatever it was in the cup, absolutely brilliant. Ryan Winder on the flanks, loads and loads of pace, very direct. Doesn't always get his final delivery right, but when he gets into them dangerous positions, anything can happen. And so far, this season, the anything has resulted in a lot of goals, certainly this past month.
I was going to say, though, they started the season not scoring goals,
That's their thing. Plus, they've conceded eight all season. Now, that is a phenomenal,
tremendous record.
They've conceded four fewer goals than anybody else.
I think the majority of them was in one game as well, actually.
I think, to be honest, like Lancaster, I don't believe are contenders for those top five spots.
Oh, we were doing so well.
No disrespect to them. My feelings are that they're a really resolute side at home. They're difficult to beat. They're tight. You know, they give you problems. The pitch is big and wide. They're used to playing on it. What I will say is that I think maybe their away form will let them down against the bigger sides. And I say bigger sides because there are bigger financial sides in this division.
I think any team at this moment in time that have already conceded eight goals and they've got 20 points on the board, they're going to be a hard, hard team to beat. Resolute.
Lancaster City, they're in eighth on 20 points. Also on 20 points at the moment is Barwell. And just to put this into context, Barwell have conceded double the amount of goals as Lancaster City, but there they are on 20 points, as are Ashton United. But Ashton United do have a game in hand over Barwell.
And Ashton United are the only team that have beaten Lancaster this season as well. Exactly. And Mark Lees has scored three goals this season. It's ridiculous. He's not scored three goals in his entire life before this year.
You get a quid
every time
you mention Mark Lees.
He's my hero.
Mark Lees, there's another quid.
He's a top bloke.
So, Barwell and Ashton United. Barwell, it's Barwell, aren't they? I mean, what else can they say?
This is Barwell plus. Yeah. That'll be ninth. Barwell plus. Yeah, they've won every game since they lost in the FA Cup, so yeah, they're in a
good But even run. Still, they're scoring, they're getting good results against the teams a lot lower down. So the 4-0 against Rushall Olympic, first week of the season, 6-0 against Sutton Coldfield the week after they've knocked them out of the FA Cup.
Beat Farsley.
Yeah, beat Farsley. The last three games have been 2-1 wins. I think the last defeat was Altrincham.
They're a constant surprise.
They're doing great, aren't
they? We say that, but we say that every year. But,
I know,
but
they're, they're no longer a constant surprise. Yeah. They're going to be the team that are going to be put performances in, beat teams that you don't expect them to beat. But they cemented themselves tremendously well in this division over the last three or four seasons, and fair play to them, you know. And
Ashton, they're thereabouts. They're having a much better season than they did last season. Yes. And I'm responding to Jody Bannon.
They're doing fine.
Yeah,
they're pretty much where people.
If they don't get themselves sorted, they're doing very, very well at the moment. You know, 20 points on the board. I think if they don't finish in the top five or six, they will believe themselves they've underachieved again.
Swampy, I'm not having this.
No.
Matty Chadwick is absolutely flying at them. He's in not quite the form of his life necessarily, but he's doing really, really well, having a great, great season. And that's after missing quite a bit of pre-season too.
They're in playoff contenders.
And there's
playoff
a good
contenders,
glow.
Playoff contenders. They need to be up there again.
I can't survive about this.
Yeah.
When you spoke to Jody, he basically highlights the fact of the upheaval that happened last season.
It does take time. That's what I was going to say. I don't believe that they underachieved last year. I thought, you know, with the upheaval of players, and they, to me, stabilised themselves last year. And I think that they're still in that process of stabilising themselves.
I just feel that
the quality of players that are there are good enough to stay within the top half of the table. Yeah. I don't believe that they'll hit into the top
five. I
mean,
worst comes to worst, Jody himself's still scoring. And how old is he now? 38?
47?
He's getting up there.
Could do a job for you.
He did one time.
He did, yeah. Birker.
I got mistaken for Jody Manning once.
Birker.
At Radcliffe Borough.
Birker. This is all very interesting.
How dare they?
But Birker, got a question for you. Grantham Town?
Right, Grantham Town. I said on the show last month that Grantham Town.
You don't know what you said on the show last month.
No, I've listened back to it. I do know what I said.
You know what Ben edited?
He's listening back. Just to be clear, this is with regards to one piece of correspondence we had in from a Grantham fan.
It is.
I've read this one.
Had a fantastic start to the season. I think this time last month they were second or third. Lee Shaw had been banging them in and everything was going swimmingly. I said, right, if they carry on like that, absolutely no question about it, they're going to end up in the playoffs. However, as a caveat, they've just got to watch out because there was little signs that some inconsistency might be creeping in. Remember, they were 3-0 up against Matlock away, and Matlock got it back to 3-2, nearly snatched it back. And they nearly snatched it back. And just little clues that not everything was quite 100%. And rather than jumping on what I'd said about fantastic, they're doing brilliantly, the problem is, and this is very unusual for me, I was actually right for once. And from going from a team...
You should see the look on his face now.
You should see the look on our faces when he said it.
Going from a team which were... From a team that were absolutely flying to a team that are going through a bit of a patch. There's nothing wrong with that at all. They've played 12 games in the league. They've won 6, they've lost 6. That's inconsistent, which is what I was just hinting at a little bit. Well, warning it. That's just what I was warning against last month. They're just consistently inconsistent.
I mean, they are down the bottom of the form table at the moment, but yeah.
It's a bumpy patch, isn't it?
No, it was a fluke, though, that I was right.
to be fair to him, the last game they won against Sutton Coldfield 6-1.
6-1, no. Exactly. I've got to say as well.
They've only conceded 15 goals.
What a great.
So far in 11 games, which isn't bad at all in fairness.
So they must have been narrow defeats.
They
have been narrow defeats. As Roy quite rightly says, they've conceded, as I said there, 15 goals. They've scored 23. So, you know.
Grantham are leading a pack of teams I would describe as who last season would have been a bit higher up. They're ahead of Whitby Town, they're ahead of Workington, they're ahead of Buxton, they're ahead of Matlock.
There were just glimmers, though, that Whitby are getting their act together, isn't there?
Yes.
He was slightly concerned about them last month because they weren't scoring any goals, and they've won a couple of games in the past week. Brought a forward in, John Campbell, that Mark Carruthers was telling you about
on Friday's show. And
Who's the manager of Basford?
The manager of Basford. And they are upwardly mobile, so I think they'll continue to improve this month.
I think for me...
Did you retract that post, by the way?
No, I didn't.
You kept it out there. Brilliant, yeah.
I think for me, the team that have had... Well, they have. They're in 13th spot at Workington. Yeah. A team that we all expected.
They're doing what Workington do, though, aren't they? This is what they do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've scored 17, they conceded 17, they've got 16 points. They're winning and drawing, losing at home only one, away from home four.
Workington, to be honest, I mean, they're always a team to be reckoned with. Especially up there, you know, and for me it's like the travelling distances more than anything, especially midweek games, you know, for the teams that have to travel up that way. But they also have like this nucleus of players that they sort of pull on.
Sorry, carry on.
The glowing centre forward from Workington.
What I would say is that they do have a nucleus of players that regularly come through. You know what I mean? With a lot of power.
Anyway, right, that's enough about Workington. Well done, Roy.
And they come from the Sellafield area as well.
Right, Buxton, you were in 14th. Buxton, I mean, Martin McIntosh last week was talking about what we've already talked about, the fact you can't make sense of the league
calm,
at the moment.
Very calm.
Matlock, I think would tell you the same thing, because they've had a really bizarre start.
Very snug together, aren't they, in the middle?
You've started to pick up the last couple of weeks, haven't you?
I think you look at the four teams, Whitby, Workington, Buxton and Matlock, and any one of them could sort of hit a little run, because they're capable of it, all four of them. Whether or not they do it pretty rapid and put themselves in amongst the pigeons is another thing. I just believe.
Swampy, that's a dove.
Yeah, he's on the wing again.
I was going to mention Michelover Sports, but I was going to throw in as well Stafford Rangers and Hensford Town, because they're all on the same number of points, 14 points. Stafford Rangers are...
I've seen Stafford, and they were absolutely woeful. And they got beat 4-0 at home by Witten.
There's another post.
I think Neil Kitchen said the same thing, though.
He said other words as well when I listened to his post-match. I stood outside the dressing room.
I mean, we'll discuss Stafford in a minute when we talk about the FA Cup as well. But
which is what I was going to say.
The FA Cup is like the kind of fitness keeping it.
Maybe it's their thing, because I would have given them no chance whatsoever of beating Tamworth in the FA Cup after seeing them the previous weekend. And they didn't. And they had a good win against Nantwich on Tuesday. They've just been really up and down, and they've got a shocking home record. If they sort that out, they will climb the table.
Now,
they've got two games at hand over.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of teams. But you're about to say Hensford.
I was about to say Hensford because obviously they've had a change of management in the past. Yeah. Roy, I'm coming to you because
I want to know what Roy thinks.
Right, they got Liam McDonald, who had a storming season the year before at
Redditch,
yes, in the Southern League, and he goes there. So it's a big club. He has a good start to the season, and then he gets picked off by Solihull Moors.
Yeah, which is not Hens's fault.
No, but then there's a domino effect where there is this kind of thing of picking managers, and then to fill that void of that initial, we're getting Liam McDonald, and this is going to kick us back into the National League North.
I've been to Hensford a few times, and that is a really big sleeping giant. It's a beautiful ground, you know what I mean?
Sorry, I think Thomas the Tank's about to go in.
They're the sleeping giant in that area and in non-league football, as I feel a Stafford Ranger. Hensford, they have had a hell of a turnover of managers. In that time, managers bring their own players in, so they must have had a hell of a turnover of players. Yeah. If that leads to a good bit of stability in foundation building, then it just doesn't work. So all I'm saying is that, you know, you do need a little bit of stability. If you're building a team from scratch, you need patience and you need time with it.
Just to mention for Sutton Coldfield Town, they've had a much better start than last season. But they have conceded 35 goals in 13 matches,
which is incredible.
Which is
they're still getting decent results. They're getting the odd good result here and there, though, that's the thing.
Not really. Always
no, point against Colville, three against Buxton.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're beating the team.
And he scored as many goals as Buxton.
Drew against Whitby as well. Just to mention then for the survival side of things, Rushall Olympic down there, Stalybridge Celtic down there, Hillsow in Town down there.
Rushall's a big shot because, again, they're scoring and they're getting. They're proving they're scoring.
Isn't it a rebuilding job
complete
for Rushall?
Complete massive turnover. Rebuild.
Just to mention for Stalybridge.
We have to talk
now.
About
that's Birky.
At what point do we get worried?
Well, they won last night. Simo is the only person around this table who actually listens to this show.
Yeah.
What did you think of Steve Burr's interview?
Do you know what? And I did. I thought it was a really good listen, actually. But, and people should go back and have a listen to it, he's talking about how this level of football has changed since he was last here with Hucknall. But what it did reinforce is, and what's something that we've said repeatedly this season is, he hasn't managed at this level for a long time.
Just to add, I know we're talking about the bottom end. It is early days to assess a pattern emerging or anything like that.
But this is a club that... I think this is a massive story that where they've ended up where they are.
This goes for Hales Owen as well. I mean, Hales Owen...
I mean, I was at that match last night and Hales Owen looked brilliant.
They've been pointing out a couple of good results.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Going forward, Hales Owen looked quite tidy, in my personal opinion. They just could have had... There was two free kicks last night... The entire stadium was wondering how on earth they didn't go in, and they were both teams showed the flaws as well, and they do stand out quite a lot, in particular with Stalybridge. They need to fix them fast, in my opinion, and otherwise it's going to be a two horse race.
One thing for Bridge is they've got Liam Dickinson scoring
and he was fantastic.
A hat full of goals.
He was fantastic last night.
Right, that is the end of part two. Coming up in a second, we're going to be discussing the FA Cup.
Yes, Harbin's still in.
Fantastically decent, this stick's like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show for the month of September, recorded live on a Wednesday night down here at the Heaton Hops in Stockport. Around the table, we've got the great and good of non-league football. We've got Mr. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Still here.
We've got Berkey from Radio Manchester.
Hi, Ben.
We've got Swampy from the non-league show.
Oh, good evening.
We've got Mr. Non-League himself, Roy Sewell.
Just here.
And we've got James Hayes.
Evening.
From the league. Third qualifying round of the FA Cup is taking place this weekend. We should say on the Division 1 show this week, we're speaking to most of the Division 1 managers. We spoke to Grant Black at Ossett last week, but we've got everyone else coming on the Division 1 show.
He's a lovely
this week.
Chap.
Grant Black's sound, he really is.
Oh, Grant Black, yeah, he's a top draw guy, top draw.
Good player he was as well.
Very good player.
I told him that on Saturday, and he went very shy and said, oh, yeah, no, you mustn't have seen me play. And I went, no, I have plenty
very
of time,
good player.
Don't
worry.
Right, let's talk about these FA Cup matches then, and let's do this in alphabetical order, or numerical order. 1874 Northwich against the aforementioned Grant Black's Ossett Town. Now, I know for a fact that we've got a difference of opinion on my left-hand side here. Berkey and Andrew Simpson. Of course, Andrew Simpson does have a horse in this race.
Yeah, so I have to back then, don't I? Unbeaten this season in all competitions, have knocked a couple of higher-ranked teams out, including North Ferriby in the last round. Yeah, and the three at the end of last season. 17 in all competitions. But Ossett Town are having a very good season as well. I'm sure you're going to tell me now.
Great results at the weekend against your team, Berkey.
Hyde United, yeah, they were absolutely excellent. Away from home, they set up not to lose, and they don't lose. Simple as that. They're a very well regimented side. And up front, they've had a new addition this week in Danny South, who is an absolute giant of
a
man.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he is. He puts himself about. He's a real menace, but they've got this young lad up front called Kai Hancock, who scored 30-odd goals last season for Athersley Rec in the Northern Counties League. And he is absolute mustard. So you've really got to be on your watch against him. But I know that 1874, you've got a couple of good wingers. Adam Whitlock and the other young lad.
Taylor Kennelly.
That's right, yeah.
It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be a really, really good game, that.
What do you reckon then?
I think Rossi are just going to scrape that one. I personally think
in a replay.
No, I think United.
Now,
great beer, by the way, but in Ossett, great breweries, Ossett Town, Ossett Albion, great brewery down there.
I think we've drank them on the show in the past, actually. I think
we have drank them on the show in the past. Actually, while we're talking about it, FA Cup beers of the season.
What?
Any supporters from these teams that we're going to talk about now, if you've got a beer specifically in your area that you think is good quality, send it to us.
Let me get on that one.
Where is Stamper, hey? Right.
We've sampled in the past.
Now, Basford United against Kettering Town, if there was an upset to be had, it's potentially this one. Now, we are speaking to Basford United on this week's Division 1 show. Basford are flying, aren't they?
Yeah, but Kettering are flying. They're top of the Southern League.
Yeah, but Basford are flying. And they're in MPL side.
At top of the Southern League, the division above them.
Yeah.
And Basford have knocked out two higher ranked teams in the last two rounds
and
as well.
Kettering have also knocked out two MPL sides so far as well.
I think this is a great game that none of us could actually predict. So I'm going to predict Kettering win away.
After a replay.
I'd say a score draw, as I'd say a score draw in the Northwich and Ossett Town game.
So they're going to Tuesday night, according to my school. Okay. Now, come back to you, Berkey, for this one. In fact, no, I'll leave that fixture to last, if that's all right.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we'll end on a flurry. Buxton against Alf Church. We will be catching up with Alf Church on the Division 1 show. We spoke to Martin McIntosh on last week's Evo Stick MPL show. Now,
should be a belter.
It should be a belter.
Alf Church got three strikers.
How many goals have they scored?
Five. They've won like
400.
400 goals.
Yeah, great win at Grantham in the last round.
Just the mere 412 matches.
And I think that's an open play.
It's very impressive.
Just like in the Premier, the team that come into the south have just absolutely gone to it straight away. Alf Church there. 19 goals in 8 games and 3 strikers in the top 10.
I think you're talking 1-0 either way.
What?
All that about goal scoring. Right, he comes back with reality.
I'm thinking Buxton have to win that game.
Yes, I agree.
Give them the impetus to carry on in the football in the division. And I think for me, a Buxton win is
could be a catalyst for their season.
I think so, and I'm expecting them to go on and win there.
Either way, it's 1-3 for the MPL.
By two clear goals, it could be a high scoring game, don't get me wrong, but by two clear goals, that Buxton will win the game.
Nantwich Town against Nuneaton Town.
It should be Nuneaton.
Should it be Nuneaton?
Well, it should be, but it's the FA Cup, and Nantwich have had a great record
Good season, the FA Cup numbers. Their best wins
Haven't we seen teams from the lower half of the National League North come into our league and struggle a bit? And haven't we seen teams go up from the MPL and do quite
well in
the National League North?
The problem is Nantwich are in the bottom half.
Realistically, we'd say Nuneaton. Our hearts would say we hope all the Northern Premier teams go through. But I think realistically, we would say Nuneaton are the team that really should beat Nantwich now. We wish Nantwich all the very, very best. On the day, they can get a great result, but Nuneaton probably are the team that should beat them on the day. If they don't, well done, Nantwich. That's what we're saying.
Scarborough Athletic against Stratford Town. It's got Steve Kittrick coming on the Division 1 show this week.
Scarborough,
they've got a great home record
at the moment. They're having a great season to keep pace with South Shields, aren't they?
They've really settled well at home. They had a little bit of an iffy start there. But
you did as well, didn't you? You had an iffy start there, didn't you?
Well, we drew 0-0.
But it was Scarborough 2-0.
Yeah, I think you're right. Scarborough will win that game.
Should be Scarborough.
If they keep getting home ties, there's a good chance you could go on a decent FA Cup run.
I think Scarborough should win that game comfortably, in fairness.
The best bit about Scarborough's new ground is that the donkeys from the beach, they all live on the hill, facing it.
Shaw Lane against Lancaster City.
Interesting, isn't it? It's interesting, Bob. It's tied around.
Well, it's the Division 1 champions going at it yet again, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Clash of the Titans.
Lancaster offer a replay for me.
It's going to a replay, in my opinion. Bob.
Roy says no. Go on, Roy.
2-0. Shaw Lane.
What?
I think Shaw Lane will win it as well.
Remember, Shaw Lane.
Lancaster beat Shaw Lane in this run that the Shaw Lane are on.
Right, we're talking about tie of the round.
We'll be talking about this tomorrow in our show as well, but equally. This is
yes,
the FA
but
Trophy.
Will you have
FA
one
Trophy
of the managers on the show?
Yeah, like
we have.
Sorry?
We've got South Shields Lee Picton coming on the show. So that's
we've got both.
South
Shields. We've got three managers. We've got the duo and
Gary Mills.
And Lee
Gary
Picton's
Mills. Dad.
Right, so South Shields against York City.
Well, this is FA Trophy, FA Vars.
Yeah, it's
the first time they've ever
First time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, first time in history it's ever happened.
That is a
this
great
This is the clash
stat.
Of two non-league giants.
It's a non-league charity shield.
It's a Super Cup.
Super Cup.
Yeah.
Non-league Super Cup, yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I hear your ear.
Is there anyone...
There. Yes.
Wait, I think I spoke to you off air. I can't remember anymore, Roy, to be honest. York City, that's a big banana skin, that. Against South Shields.
Yeah. It is, to be honest, a big banana skin from both sides. South Shields going really, really well.
And they beat Darlington in the last round as well.
Yeah. Really, really
comfortably.
Well.
Convincingly.
Yo-yo performance team.
The form isn't great, and they did lose to Harrogate in the last game, York, so...
The thing is that it's a little bit of a lottery, this one, for me. York are well capable of going to South Shields and beating them, but South Shields over the last few months or so have put in some really good performances
on
with
the day
performance.
That South Shields will beat York City and will beat them convincingly.
Wow!
South Shields on their day are absolutely top draw. There's no question about it. But York
are capable of doing it.
They are capable of doing it, but I don't think they'll turn up tomorrow. Saturday, I should say. I don't think York will be on a par. South Shields at home, big home following.
Sure.
The pitch is superb. They play great football. Arthur will be back. They'll have all the top draw players there, and I think they'll beat York City 3-1.
Alright,
and it'd
be a convincing victory.
Well,
if that's the case, I'll say it's a draw.
Is there a potential upset as well with Stafford Rangers? They're hosting Telford United, and I joked last week with Neil Kitchen that if you could beat Tamworth, then you could beat Telford. Telford, they've got the links now with Wolves and stuff like that, and you know, football's played on grass, not on paper. But you've seen Telford recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I have seen. I saw Telford last week against Chorley. Surely ran out 3-2 winners. I was a little bit disappointed with the consistency of them throughout a 90-minute game, but they have the capabilities of winning this game definitely against Stafford. I would say that they will win the game 2-1.
I disagree with you only because Stafford Rangers.
Even though Stafford beat Tamworth.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
You're always capable in the FA Cup of pulling out decent results on the day. I think Telford are capable of doing a little bit more consistent.
Telford on paper should win it. No question about it.
I think
they'll
do
right.
it in the consistency of the performance.
I think Stafford have an opportunity. Their league form has been poor, but they're doing well in this competition.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it gives them an opportunity to express themselves,
no,
enjoy the football,
yeah.
And therefore, I actually do believe that. I think they'll straight through. I think they'll straight through.
Stourbridge against Alfreton Town. This one's an interesting one because
Stourbridge and they always win.
Yeah, Outwick just can't back against them in the FA Cup.
Are we becoming a bit, you know, blasé about Stourbridge and
they believe in themselves. The cup comes round and go, well, this is our competition.
If Stourbridge score 2 goals this weekend, again another stat from Phil, they'll overtake Altrincham for the most overall goals scored in the FA Cup as well. And the Altrincham
with everybody
as a non-league side.
As a non-league side,
not as in everyone in the country.
What
ever.
What?
Really?
Yeah. What's that stat?
Stourbridge are 2 goals away from taking over Altrincham in the all-time, every game they've ever played in the FA Cup.
Right.
Ever.
That's incredible.
Where have you got that stat from?
Phil Annett.
Yeah, Phil Annett again.
When I was saying, are we becoming a bit blasé, it was basically saying that fixture there is tougher than you think.
I think sometimes Stourbridge have such a great cup run, you would never hope it would end, but it has to, at some stage, it might end. And I think it might end here with Alfreton Town. And if Stourbridge come out and win, I'm really pleased for them. I want them to win, but I'm not giving an opinion what I think. And I think Alfreton Town will beat them on the day, and Stourbridge will continue doing really well in the league itself,
which is their priority.
And lastly, but not leastly, Boston Town against Hyde United. This is your year, Birkin. This is your year, isn't it?
Please don't.
It is, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
You're going to get promoted. You're going to get to the first round. It's nailed on this.
Lowest ranked team left in the cup as well.
Yeah, I know they are. The thing is, Boston Town, they've beaten Hensford. They've beaten two teams from step four. This is not a pushover in any way, shape or form.
Are you going?
Of course I'm going.
Wow, it's the first time, isn't it?
He's commentating that on Twitter.
Well, I've never been to, of course I've never been to Boston Town.
That'll be your first time this round.
I'm really nervous about it. I can't wait. I really can't wait, because if we do get through, we'll make it. We really will make it. But
we're speaking to Darren on the Division 1 show as well, just to add. Now, going through that list there, there is a good chance of getting a good pack of teams in the four qualifying round.
Yes.
And that'd be good. Good luck.
Well, Bolton and Alvechurch, don't
they? Yeah, and then we've got two minimum, so obviously the winner is Charlie and Lancaster and Bolton and Alvechurch, but
they will emerge in the bracket of death.
Now, that is the end of the show. A big good luck to all our sides in FA Cup action, including those taking on other MPL sides. We genuinely hope that you all win. A big thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian for joining us.
No problem.
His arduous drive here, in fairness.
Yeah, I'm 56.
Did well to get it.
A big thank you to Berkey from Radio Manchester.
Cheers, man. And 26-0.
And 26-0.
Yeah. Hyde 26-0.
Hyde United.
Yeah. Thank you to Swampy from the Non-League Show.
Thank you very much, sir. And listeners, don't forget, tune in Friday night to the MPL show, and also into the non-league show, which is
and the Division 1 show, of course,
and the Division 1 show as well.
It's the best show, if you ask me.
And Ben will give out all the details at the end of this broadcast.
Okay, and a big thank you.
Oh, you won't.
What for?
You won't get out all the details.
What about?
Well, you said
the next show,
the non-league show. Now, most people would think the non-league show is this show, but it's not this show.
Well, the thing is, you're on with
the non-league show. No, national.
You're on the non-league show. We're on the non-league show.
Roy
Sewell.
Right, for the next 5 minutes.
Roy Sewell, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, James. And thank you, James Hayes, as well.
No problem. Follow us all on Evil Stick on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vlog.
Thank you, and MySpace.
And also, my show's on.
Are we on audio? Are we on MySpace?
I think we're on MySpace, aren't we?
That's right.
You should check that. But from everyone here at the Heat and Hops, a big thank you for joining us.
Heat and Hops.
And
South Stockport, whatever you call it.
Well, South Manchester, North Stockport. So
let me say goodbye to the dear
listener. No, we're not.
They're sitting at home going, Ben, please say goodbye to us. You know what, listener? Bye-bye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.